Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
Tonight, as we prepare to enter into a new phase of life and ministry as a church, we'll be considering a very, very critical issue from the Word of God. And what we'll be looking at this evening is the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. Any attempt to explore the Holy Spirit, we know that is a very broad topic of the Bible. We can never finish discussing the Holy Spirit because he is eternal. Nobody knows his beginning and nobody knows his ending. Therefore, nobody can exhaust discussing the Holy Spirit. But today we'll just be looking at a very, very critical aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we are zeroing in on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. And for our background, scripture, I would love for us to turn to the book of Acts of the Apostles. The book of the Acts of the Apostles, number one. We'll read the first 11 verses as the background to this study. Acts of the Apostles, number one. We'll commence reading from verse number 1 to verse 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." May the Lord bless the reading of his word for our blessings in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. When we talk about the Holy Spirit and the power that the Holy Spirit gives through the church, it is actually the most striking feature in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And as a matter of fact, some theologians believe that the book itself should be named the heart of the Holy Spirit. Because when you look at it from the beginning to the end, what we saw in the hearts of the apostles is actually the hearts of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church. So the hearts of the Holy Spirit in the book cannot be understood without seeing the relationship between the hearts of the apostles and the gospels, which actually demonstrates an essential continuity. And that is why you see our beloved Dr. Luke in the opening verse of that chapter 1. He says, in my former book, he was referring to the gospel according to St. Luke. Said, Theophilus, I write about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. So he was trying to say that everything that he taught, everything that he did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Both the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel and the public ministry of the church in the Acts of the Apostle began with a life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit. So both are essential accounts of the result of that event. So everything Jesus did, everything Jesus taught, was as a result of his encounter with the Holy Spirit. And that was why when he was going up from the heaven, from the earth to the heavens, he ensured that he introduced the church, he introduced the disciples to the same source of the power which he had. And I think he's a wonderful Savior because he did not monopolize the wisdom and the power of God. He introduced the church to the same secret of his power. So the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ authorized him to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and also to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God by healing the sick. You see, I want us to please take note very, very well. If we claim to believe in Jesus, if we claim to be serving Jesus, and if we claim to be preaching the gospel of Jesus, then we need to do everything holistically. We can't afford to just take a portion of the life and the ministry of Jesus and downplay the others. What we are saying is that Jesus Christ did not only preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. He also demonstrated the power of the kingdom of God. And that is why the Apostle Paul will say that the kingdom of God is actually not a matter of drinking and eating. It is what? It is what? It is the power, talking about the demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God. So if we claim to believe in Jesus and we claim to be the church of Jesus, then our preaching should not just only be about the kingdom. We should also demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God. And this can only be made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we are going to preach the gospel as was preached by Jesus Christ, if we are going to demonstrate the power of the kingdom as demonstrated by Jesus Christ, then we also need this indispensable experience. It is an indispensable experience. Any Christian that will be a potent weapon in the hand of God, any church that will be effective in a ministry and witness to the world about Jesus must, as a matter of fact, have a encounter with the Holy Spirit, because everything that Jesus did was by the Holy Spirit. Can we quickly turn to the book of Luke, number 4, Luke number 4, and we are going to see, what we have just said. Luke number 4, let's start from verse 14. From verse 14, the word of God says, Jesus returned to Galilee. How did he return? This is a study. Please, I need you to please come along with me. How did he return? I can hear you. He returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. Okay? He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. So if he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was teaching in the synagogues, so how did he teach? He must have taught in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I put it to you this evening, Sunday school teachers. How do you teach? I put it to you, Home Fellowship leaders. How do you teach? Several of us that have opportunity of handling the word of God, how do you handle it? If there's going to be result, kingdom result, it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know that this power of the Holy Spirit did not just come upon him. Did not just come upon him. He longed for it. He prayed for it. He waited for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Actually, he did not start to do anything until he was anointed. He did not venture into ministry. Even though he loved to preach, even though he desired that every person on the surface of heart should be saved, but my Lord Jesus Christ did not venture into doing anything for anybody until he had been endued with power from on high. You know why he did that? If he had not done that, if he had not waited, what happened to Moses would have happened to him. Do you remember Moses? When he saw the two Hebrews, okay, the first day it was an Egyptian that was afflicting an Hebrew. And what did he do? In the power of his whatever, in his physical mind, what did he do? He beat the other person, killed him, and buried him. And the following day, two Hebrews were now fighting, and he was trying to mediate. It was a simple question that man asked him. Who made you a judge and ruler over us? Do you know that many of us, you have been asked that same question in several places, by several people, by several situations? You call yourself MD in that office, and they are asking you that simple question: who made you an MD here? You won that contract, no doubt about it. But the question is, who gave you this contract? On whose authority? On whose power are you here? Moses couldn't answer that question. There were other people that I saw in the book of the Acts of the Apostles that were asked the same question. Remember the seven sons of Sceva? Do you know that many of us, we are like seven sons of Sceva? We have been humiliated. We have been afflicted by the evil power in the land just because we could not answer the simple question. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? Simple question. Who are you? Let's hear what Jesus Christ said about him. So he went to Nazareth, verse 16, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. What was written? The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me. To do what? To proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you remember that none of the Pharisees had this testimony concerning them? And that was why anytime they taught the people, their teaching lacked authority. But when Jesus came and he began to teach, do you remember what they said concerning him? He said, this one, he teaches with what? With authority. So who gave him the authority? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And when you look at the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, you also see there, Acts 10, 38, how God anointed, let's get it, okay? He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? With the Holy Spirit and what? And power. And he went about. Meaning that he never went about anywhere until God, his Father, had anointed him. I ask you tonight, you go about as a Christian lawyer. You go about as a Christian teacher. You go about as a Christian contractor. You go about as a Christian civil servant. You go about as a Christian whatever. But the question is, have you been anointed before you started going about? Anyone that has not been anointed and ventured into doing things in this world will be humiliated. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said when he was sending us out? He said, I send you out as what? As sheep. In the what? In the midst of what? Of wolves. Do you see why you also must be anointed? I send you out. You already know that sheep is a what? A prey to the what? To wolves. Do you see why many have been defeated? Do you see why many have been humiliated? Do you see why many of us, we have run into debt, unnecessary debt? Do you see why many churches have gone bankrupt? Because any church that is venturing into the ministry that has not been anointed for, we end up in defeat. We end up in debt. And that is why we see a lot of argument today in our meetings. Why? Because the anointing is not there. So, in the same way Jesus Christ operated, he ensured that the church that he was leaving behind will operate in the same degree of power. And so when he gathered them together, as we saw in that Acts chapter 1, he said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Do you see now that the issue of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something to debate? It's not something to subject to theological argument. It's a reality. It's an indispensable experience that every Christian, every church that desires to be fruitful, to be effective in this world, must have. Jesus specifically told his church, said, just as I never ventured into doing anything until God anointed me with power, with Holy Spirit and power, so I beseech you, I appeal to you, I command you, please do not leave Jerusalem. Do you know what? If they have left Jerusalem without the anointing, they wouldn't have gone too far. And we are going to see later that without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will be difficult to go too far. We will not be able to get to the destination that heaven has appointed for us to get to. So he said, so wait And you see, when this man, when Jesus Christ was saying what was uppermost in his heart, do you see the attitude of disciples? They were busy talking about their political, they were raising political issues. Jesus was raising kingdom issue. They were raising earthly issue, political issues. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Will you at this time bring the change to Nigeria? Will you at this time bring transformation to Nigeria? Say, no, that is not your business. Leave that one to the politicians. Leave that one to the politicians. Let them be doing their politics. But you face the kingdom issue. Because the truth is, everything that happens in the physical realm is orchestrated from the spirit realm. I am introducing you to the spirit realm where you will be cutting the short of everything, where you will be the one determining everything. Said, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then you will be witnesses to me. And you see, Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Do you see where God has destined you to get to? And you discover that when Jesus Christ started off, the Bible says his fame spread abroad. His fame spread abroad by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the same power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, that the apostle received in the Acts chapter 2, gave the same authority to the disciples. And when we go to chapter 2 now, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now listen at verse 4. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" So they named the languages from verses 9 to whatever. So now let's jump down. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So Jesus Christ is actually the prototype of the spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life. And he ensured that his disciples, his church, was introduced into the same realm where he operated from while he was physically present in this world. Now, the book of the Acts of the Apostle also makes us to understand that it is the story of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. Did you hear that? They received what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. So if you will also do what Jesus did, and you remember that he actually told us, say, greater works than I did, you will do. So if you will do what he did, and if you will do greater than he did, then you must receive what he received. He received the power of the Holy Spirit. So as a church, as we are transiting into another phase of life and ministry, it can no longer be business as usual. Let's put off anything that is carnal and let's pursue the spiritual. If we desire to see extraordinary things taking place in this church, then every one of us, every minister, every member of the church, when I say minister, I'm not talking to those of you who call ministers. We are all ministers. We are all ministers. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you have been anointed by Jesus Christ and you are serving in one ministry or the other, you are a minister. And we are saying that if your ministry will produce the same kind of result that the ministry of Jesus produced, then we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Comforter must come. The Holy Spirit must come. The power of the Most High God must overshadow us. You remember what God told Mary, the mother of Jesus? When the Lord told her everything that was going to happen, then she said, "How will these things be?" Because what you are saying is extraordinary. What you are saying, everything is supernatural. All these things that you are saying, they are beyond any human capacity, any human ability. He said, "Don't worry. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that which will come out of you shall become Holy Son of God." So if you desire to see extraordinary results in your life, in your business, in your ministry, actually your business is supposed to be a ministry. If you are a teacher, if you are a civil servant, whatever you are doing, supposed to be, you know, there is supposed not to be a dichotomy where this is spiritual, this is secular. For those of us who belong to Jesus, it is the same Christ that we carry to the church that we should be carrying about. So it is the same Christ that works in us as civil servants. So if you will experience extraordinary results, you must receive what Jesus received. And if as a church, we will also experience extraordinary results like the church, early church experienced, we must receive what they received. They received the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They never depended on their own power. Even Apostle Paul, that was well learned, do you remember that he said, "Everything that was gained to me, I counted as loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus." So we must do away with all our physical, all our natural knowledge, our natural ability, and we must depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. So the book of the Acts of the Apostles, again, like we said, is the story of the disciples receiving what Jesus received in order to do what Jesus did. Quickly, let's see the manifestations of the Holy Spirit quickly in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. We'll be looking at, you know, different ways the book of the Acts of the Apostles spoke about how the Holy Spirit manifested in the life of the church. The first one that we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, is that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So the church, everybody in the church was filled with the Holy Spirit. So meaning that Luke was very, very, very concerned about the dynamics of the Holy Spirit, the dynamics of the works of the Holy Spirit in the life of the people. Said they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8, the same expression was used. Chapter 4, verse 8. What did he say? He said, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit." Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and had been asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. How do you describe that manifestation? I think that is boldness and courage to stand against accusation. You know, they were brought into the presence of the Sanhedrin, and they were calling them to account. How many times have you been called to account in your place of work and you begin to shiver? It is because you lacked this anointing. How many times have you been called to account in your marriage? Maybe sickness called you to account. Maybe your wife was pregnant and there was the threat of abortion calling you to account. And you begin to, all that you began to do was to be crying. You don't need to cry. There was the story of these two girls that I read some years ago in the newspaper. They both finished from a federal government college in Ogbomosho. They were from Oyo town. So after the release of the resort, the WAEC resort, they traveled to Oyo, and they traveled from Oyo to Ogbomosho to go and collect their resort. So on their way coming, the two of them entered into this wicked vehicle. They were kidnappers. Then they took them to an unknown place. So when they took them to that place, obviously they knew that these were ritualists. They needed them for whatever ritual. So they locked them up in a room for many days. These were secondary school girls, so they shouldn't be more than 16 or 17 years. So the other girl, all that she knew how to do was to cry. But the other girl, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "Why are you crying?" They saw several skulls, human skulls, in the room where they locked them up. And they met several people there. So they were calling them one after the other. And when they called them, they noticed that the next thing they will hear a scream, that they will just scream, and that will be the end. So this other girl, she was confident in the Lord. You know, I was studying my Bible this morning, and I saw that when they incarcerated Peter, remember in Acts chapter 12, when they incarcerated him, you remember where they kept him? In the innermost part of the something. The Bible said he was sleeping. There were guards around him. He was sleeping. That angel has to wake him and say, what kind of man is Peter? How can he be sleeping? Why will he not sleep? Because he remembered that his master, the other day, when there was storm on the sea, what was Jesus Christ doing? He was sleeping. It's only people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit that will be overcome by fear. So Peter was sleeping. So this girl, she said, "Don't cry. Join me in prayer." She will not join. So they called the first girl that was crying, and they succeeded in killing her. So when they now brought this other girl that was filled with the Holy Spirit, a little girl standing before these people confronting them, then the chief priest said, "This one is a strange object. Where did you get her? Before I open my eyes, please take her away from this place. You want to spread the work? Do you see now? Fear not." You know, when we are talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, did they pour any oil on them? No, we are not talking about that one. We are talking about an experience that when you receive, changes you. Who was Peter? You remember a few days ago? Ordinary, it was a little girl that challenged him. So you are one of them. He said, no. If I ever knew Jesus, let thunder come and strike me and let me die. But see Peter now, standing in boldness because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. We can also go on and on to look at this various expression in when you look at verse 13 of that same chapter, verse 13, can you please give me, carrying a very small Bible that is verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that this man had been with Jesus. Your educational qualification, your academic degree will not help in the face of turbulence in the world. But your experience, your encounter with the Holy Spirit is what will see you through. And when you look at verse 31, thank you. After they prayed, that is the church, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then what happened? And spoke the word of God boldly. These were people that were threatened never to preach the word of God again. But when they went back to their company, they joined hands together and they prayed. How I wish and I pray that when we gather together as men, when we gather together as women, our people, they will come back, they report to us that, in the market today, this was what happened to me. In my place of work today, this is what happened to me. I say, okay, how can that happen to you? And we all join our hands together and we begin to pray. And when we pray, the Holy Spirit will come upon us again and again. It means that we can never exhaust the power, the anointing that the Holy Spirit gives. He continues to come and come and come and come and come. So when you look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, verse 5 also. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Acts chapter 6. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of what? And of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip. So they never chose anybody to serve in the church except men and women that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because anyone that is not filled with the Holy Spirit will spoil the work. The work of the ministry of the church cannot be done by boldface. There's a difference between boldness and boldface. The work of the ministry of the church cannot be done by natural ability, by natural wisdom. We need men that are filled with the Holy Spirit. We can continue to look at several references, but because of time, I will not be able to exhaust that. When you look at chapter 6, from verses 8 to 10, you see the account of Stephen, that it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he did what he did. Chapter 7, verse 55, chapter 13, 6 to 12, chapter 13, 6 to 12, quickly, this one is very critical for me. Now, they travel through, can we start from the beginning, quickly? In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. Yes. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, so the Holy Spirit can speak, yes, because he is God, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Verse 3. So after they have fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. You see now, the church laid hand on them. The church sent them off. Now, see what is being said now. The two of them sent on their way by the Holy Spirit because their choice ab initio was by the Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit that worked in the church to do what they did for these men. So these men never saw themselves as being sent by ordinary men. They never saw themselves as being sent by the church. They saw themselves as being sent by the Holy Spirit. So they knew from the beginning that they have to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit as they go. They know that they need to count on the anointing of the Holy Spirit as they go. So they went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Yes. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogue. John was with them as their helper. Yes. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There, they met a Jewish sorcerer. I want you to take note, whom did they meet? they met a Jewish sorcerer. In all your journeys, you always meet Jewish sorcerer. No matter how much you pray, you will always encounter people that are devilish. So, and false prophet named by Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. See what is happening now. Somebody wanted to hear the word of God. And these people were sent out to preach the word of God. You are sent out to go and do a business. And somebody wants to engage you in that business. Now see what happened now. Opposition. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, what happened to him? Filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. Looked straight at what? Elymas, and said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time, you will be unable to see the light of the sun. You remember that the other day when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, everything that was they were speaking was as they were enabled by the Holy Spirit. You can see now that what Paul was uttering here was not his voice. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. So he said, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. That's not what we are looking for. When the proconsul saw what had happened, what did he do? He believed. What do you need to succeed in life? I asked you, what do you need to succeed in life? Where others are failing, what do you need to succeed? Where others are being humiliated, what do you need to succeed? The Holy Spirit. As a church, what do we need to succeed? The Holy Spirit. Now, if these people had not been anointed with the Holy Spirit, would they have been able to go further than that place? But you know, they went, they came back. They went again, they went again. Three missionary journeys. Paul went in his time because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So, other expression was that they received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, 14 to 17. We will not be able to read that because of our time. They received the Holy Spirit. The first one, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. The third one, the Holy Spirit came on all who had, the Holy Spirit came on them. That is Acts 10, 44. All who had the message and believed, the Holy Spirit came on them. So these are different expressions. The fourth one is, the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Filled with the Holy Spirit, received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came on them, the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Then the last one, the Holy Spirit came on the people. He came on the people. That is Acts 19:6. Now, when you take time to read all the references that we quoted to all these various ways by which the Holy Spirit expressed himself in the life of the church, what you saw was that what followed all of these things were what? Extraordinary results. Supernatural things happened after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, after they received the Holy Spirit, after the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. They were doing things that were totally out of human power, out of human ability. That is what the Holy Spirit does. When you encounter the Holy Spirit, he introduces you. He brings you into the realm of the supernatural. He brings you into the realm of the extraordinary. Do you remember what was spoken about Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 19, verse 11? It said, God worked unusual miracles. God performed extraordinary miracles through Apostle Paul. That ordinary apron from his body was used. Do you remember Apostle Peter? Whenever he was passing through any place and they knew that he would be passing, what would they do? they will go and gather all their sick people only for the shadow of Peter to cast on them. But you know, all of these people, with all that they saw, and the church, with all that they experienced about the Holy Spirit, they never personalized Holy Spirit. They never labeled anything. In our days now, when you see little move of God, then it becomes labeled. Then it becomes a pattern. You discover that the apostles, they never limited themselves to one particular way because they knew that the Holy Spirit cannot be boxed. Now, we saw in Acts chapter 2 that when they waited, when they prayed, the Holy Spirit came. And there were two symbols that were used to express the coming of the Holy Spirit. The first one was a violent wind. What does that mean? We don't need to see wind again because we have already seen the way the Holy Spirit operates. And you remember that all other people that received that Holy Spirit came upon, they never saw wind again. The wind was just to explain to us who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, what he turns a man into. You know, wind is life, the breath. If we should shut up everywhere now that there is no air, what will happen? There will be suffocation. So any church where the Spirit is not moving, they will suffocate. Then wind talks of strength. You remember when there is a strong wind, no matter the strength of that tree, what will happen to it? The wind will break it. The other day when there was violent wind in the U.S., the wind was strong enough to go into the ocean and gather all the water in the ocean and fill the mainland with the water. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you become powerful. You become strong. You become unstoppable force. Nobody will be able to stand against you. And that was what God told Joshua. He said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And no man shall be able to stand against you. Jordan could not resist Joshua. The wall of Jericho, as thick and as high as it was, could not withstand Joshua. So I declare concerning you that as the Holy Spirit will be coming upon you, you will become irresistible in the name of Jesus. You will become unstoppable in the name of Jesus. And of course, he talks about fire. You know what fire does? Fire consumes. And fire will continue to consume until there is nothing to consume again. Fire is unstoppable. It's unstoppable. It consumes every consumable until, except fire is extinguished or there is nothing to consume again. That is when fire stops. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you become unstoppable. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us as a church, we become unstoppable. Recession or no recession cannot stop us. Lack of money will not stop us because the Holy Spirit will be producing everything that we need in the mighty name of Jesus. So I pray that God will help us as a church to wait earnestly, to wait to be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, and as we prepare for the new man to come. And also pray for the new man that is coming, that he will not come in the human strength, that as he'll be returning here on the 1st of December to begin to pastor us, he will come in the power of the Holy Spirit. He will come in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and he will meet people that were already anointed by the Holy Spirit. Will you bow your heads and let us pray at this time?
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5 to 7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook as Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org. We look forward to having you back next week.